This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Direct from all the action in Finland, we're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championship. The best 30 minutes of your day start now. This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show, day 3 of the IIHF World Championship. Yesterday, we enjoyed 6 games, and we have another busy day ahead of us with 6 more. So we have tons to talk about today. I'm Marav Sevier here with Reagan Rust and Mike Johnson. How are you today?
Good morning, everybody. Are we okay after yesterday's marathon day, 3 games, ready for 3 more? Reagan, are we ready to rally back-to-back?
You already know I'm ready. Let's do it.
Mike, you sound as pumped as Reagan. I wasn't expecting that because Reagan came in here with so much energy.
I'm a slow build up. You know, it's like, you know, it's morning time. I gotta save it for noon. That's when the games get going. That's when I get going.
Unfortunately, I have to get going earlier, but it's even more exciting because I have energy all the time.
So Reagan's bringing the energy right now, and we're going to have a great show today. And let's get right into our moments of the day. Mike, you had a pretty special moment for one Danish player.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, Denmark and their win early on against Kazakhstan was unbelievable. But you think about Denmark, a country that doesn't have a ton of depth. So if you're going to be a national team player, you're probably going to get there in your early to mid-20s. Well, Felix Schiel is 29 years old, making his world championship debut for Denmark. That's an eternity for someone to wait to play for the country, especially a country that doesn't maybe have quite as many players that could qualify like Denmark. So he's in his first game with the national team at the world championship, and he scores 4 minutes into it. And I just loved it. I saw one of the teammates dive into the net to grab the puck. I'm like, whoa, that's unusual. We don't see that all the time. But it just he's almost 30. Grinding it out, wanting, clearly aspiring to get to the national team, able to do it and score a goal in the first 5 minutes of the first game was awesome stuff for him.
And we hear the players talk so often about how excited they are to represent the country. So to get a chance to do that age is quite incredible.
Yeah, and you have probably some perspective, right, of the journey, of the grind, of the disappointments, of the not making it, and then you probably would appreciate the good moment of making it and scoring. And blowing out the opposition your first game was it's a big day for him.
Yeah, you appreciate it even more. And Reagan, your moment of the day comes from the Czechia-Great Britain game. And let's listen to this call first.
So the 36-year-old captain of Czechia on the penalty shot, in on bounds, fires, scores! Or did it go in? The goal light went on. The referee is saying no goal.
This went off post, another post. And whoever is firing the score light has got to put his hands in his pockets. Post. Post. And it's sitting there.
You actually might be able to see me down in that little corner. But for the listeners, you can't. I was watching it live, and I did think it went in because obviously the goal light went off. But it was a crazy penalty shot. I mean, it was just a regular shot, but it went post to post and then hit off the back of his skate. And it started rolling really slowly towards the net. So everybody was watching it. And then he realized and he turned around, smacked it out. And I just thought that was so cool. But he was playing really well yesterday, especially at the start of the Czechia game. He was holding them off for, oh my gosh, the first period, I think it was 0-0 or maybe 1-0. And then going into the second, that's when he started to lose a little bit. But he was still playing phenomenal for his first game in this tournament.
You look at him. It's like he felt like he was beat. His body language said, oh, he got me. And then he's like, wait a second, what is that off my heel? What am I doing here? And he reached back and get it. That was right on the goal line. Penalty shots are the best. I want more penalty shots all the time.
Mike, obviously you're over in Helsinki. Was that the first time you saw this? Because I was watching your face as this was playing.
I read about it, but I didn't know. I'm like, that is post to post. And then I didn't appreciate that it caught the heel and then got right back down to the goal line. That was as close as you could come. Now, Cervenka scored 1,000 goals internationally, so he's probably not sweating it. But my goodness, that is millimeters on 3 different occasions and still managed to keep it out.
I was really wondering if the ref was yelling, like, it's behind you or anything.
You can't.
But you can't. I know.
That. They can't help. That's like that. Crazy. No.
And I listened to the ref cam. It's silent.
Good.
I was looking to see if there was anything interesting from that, and I didn't hear a thing. So we didn't get anything from ref cam from that plane. Now let's get into breaking down yesterday's game. And there's just one big question I have to ask you, Mike. What happened to Kazakhstan?
Your guess is as good as mine. That was unbelievably good for Denmark. Unbelievably bad for Kazakhstan. Depends which way you want to look at it. 9-1 finish for Kazakhstan, who was inches away from making the quarterfinals last year. I mean, they really kind of overachieved, and you thought they keep it close, they play good defense, they make it hard. And to start the game, Denmark looked amazing flying through the ice. They scored 3 goals the first 5 minutes. It felt like the game was over. So credit to them. They made good plays. They finished them. But worse than that, I covered 8 games of Kazakhstan last year. They never looked so lost, so disjointed. Their commitment to kind of play defense, they were getting beat off the wall time and again. Their goaltending wasn't good enough. It was everything that they did well last year. They did poorly to start the game, and it really kind of continued the whole game. Their penalty kill didn't get it done. They had to switch goalies. They called a timeout, and then were scored on like 25 seconds later. Nothing worked for Kazakhstan. Now, stunning development, but for Kazakhstan, you know what? You got to park it, leave it alone, turn the page, get ready for the next game. But it was very surprising. We thought Denmark, Nick Ehlers in the house, and they might offer a stiff challenge to Kazakhstan, but no idea it could go that bad that quick.
Reagan, you also highlighted those 3 goals in the first 5 minutes. Was that the moment that you said to yourself, all right, this game is done?
Better
Can
be.
Can I say that? Can I say that out loud? Because yes, that's how I felt. I was watching it online and I saw it and I was like, oh no. Like, I literally got a little bit of work done and then I looked back at it. And I was like, it's 3-0 already. Like, what's going to happen? And then, yeah, the 9-1 result. And there was a hat trick too. And that kid, it was Blakefield, right?
Yeah, Blakefield. Three goals, 3 power play goals, all the exact same shot on the exact same release. It was at some point, okay, credit for good shots, Reagan, but at some point as a defenseman, make an adjustment, recognize where he likes to go with it, take the far side of the net away.
Yeah, or step up and try and block the shot. I don't know. You got to choose your battles.
Yeah.
This is the first time we saw both of these teams, so we don't have anything to fall back on from this tournament. What do you think their true identity is? Is it somewhere in the middle for both of them, and it was just, you know, a hot start on one side and a very, very poor start on the other?
It's got to be. Like, Denmark's not that good. They're not piling up goals that easily. They can't score on the power play like it's nothing. And Kazakhstan will defend better. Their goaltending will be better. They will find their structure. It looked as though it was their first exhibition game in months. Like, they just look lost, disjointed, which is not what Kazakhstan usually looks like. So I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but for one day anyway, you're wondering, how good is Denmark? Is Denmark going to push for that quarterfinal spot? Are they going to push Slovakia? Are they going to push Germany? You wonder. In Kazakhstan, you're wondering, was last year an aberration? Like, maybe they are towards the bottom of the barrel. We'll find out more as the tournament goes along, but the truth has to lie somewhere in the middle.
And Kazakhstan's Curtis Valk talked about the lessons learned. And Mike, like you said, just having to put it aside and bounce back for their next game. Here's what he had to say after the game.
We got a lot of work to do. I think our team, we took too many penalties to begin with. Obviously, they have a good power play. They scored quite a few goals on it. A lot of things. Our effort, too, has to be better. We have to start the game better. And that's something we have to, you know, do next game for sure. Shake it off as much as you can. There's little things that we have to do better. Take that from the game and just come out with a better attitude and better effort.
And we have to say, May 14th is a special day for Team Denmark. They have a history of performing well on May 14th. Mike, you even talked about this during yesterday's broadcast in Helsinki. They had a great game against Great Britain in 2019, scoring 9 goals in a shutout. And more than a decade ago in 2010, when they upset Slovakia 6-0, this is a special day for this team.
Apparently, you don't want Denmark on your schedule on May 14th because they run it up. Who knew? And you know, it's like Denmark doesn't have many games where they win by 4, 5, or 6 goals in this tournament. They just historically have not. And you have to see so many of them land on May 14th. Yesterday, of course, being May 14th, they were up 9-0, ready to match the biggest margin of victory everywhere ever until they gave up a late shorthanded goal, which would annoy the goaltender, Sebastian Dam, in net. But yeah, May 14th, who knew? It's you know, the guys are too old to remember or have it mean anything, but maybe next year, May 14th rolls around, we're going to make note, okay, watch out for Denmark today.
Oh, hopefully they play on that day. We got to make sure they're scheduled on May 14th to see if this continues. So on to the host nation. Finland took on Latvia last night after their big opening day win over Norway. And Reagan, Latvia looked different last night than they did versus the Americans on day one.
Oh, yeah, they did. It was so much better the way that they were playing. They were playing as a unit. Elvis was really good in net. And when we were walking through the fan zone, so we went outside and we were talking to fans, we looked up at the score and we're like, it's 1-0 Latvia. Like, what is going on right now? Because Finland was on fire yesterday. And so, I mean, going into the second, third period, it was getting like 1-1. It was tied at that point. And late into the third, I think it was 2 minutes remaining on a power play, Finland scored. And the crowd went insane because everyone was a little glum up until that point because it was mostly Finland fans in there. And so it was, oh my gosh, it was great. I loved it.
When Latvia plays well against good teams, that's what the game looks like. They might get outshot 30-14, but they don't care. Like, they are comfortable playing that way, rely on their goaltending. You mentioned Elvis was definitely in the building last night, playing really, yeah, really well. And they rely on that. You get a lead, you trap it up, you bend, but you don't break. And they lasted a long time. It'd be very frustrating for Latvia because they know they're in tough, but to get within a few minutes of potentially pulling some kind of points out of that game would be disappointing because that's how they have to play against the top teams.
And watching the goal back, it's like, there was that one winger that could have stepped up and potentially blocked the shot, but he stayed out of the lane and there was one player in front of the net. So he had a screen and then he got the shot right over the pad. And I was like, no, why did this have to happen? They were doing so well. Anyways, I wanted an upset, but that's okay. We'll have to wait another day.
Hopefully we'll have one in the coming days. As we mentioned, those are the games that we're waiting for, the exciting ones where the underdogs can come through. But as for Finland, should they be content with how they performed yesterday? Happy with it?
You know, they shouldn't be upset because, like we talked about before, a win is a win. But they do need to do a better job considering they are defending an Olympic gold right now. And they're coming in here. They had got second place last year. They should be the top people winning almost every single game by a good margin. But I'm really impressed by Latvia. I'm going to give that to them more than anything.
I'll say this, Reagan. Finland, even though they are amazing, defending champs, the Olympics and everything else, they don't blow people out. Right, they play close games, even when they're in control. Like they'll win 2-1, 3-1 against those teams. You're like, well, how good are they? I see Americans put up 6 goals against them, but they're just so used to playing defense structure and tight games. So I think Finland won't be enamored with how they play. They want to get more comfortable than that. But like, you'll see games like this. They'll beat Norway 4-1. And you're wondering, but this is just how they play, because what happens is when they play Sweden, they're so comfortable playing close games because they do it all the time. I don't think they'll be as bothered by a tight game against Latvia as maybe some other countries might be.
As for Switzerland versus Italy, the Swiss started off strong with 3 goals in the first period. And Mike, they never looked back after that.
No, it was one-way traffic. I mean, listen, give Andreas Bernard, I still hope he's having a knife bath, the goaltender for Italy, because he was so busy. And not just busy with shots, but busy with good chances and screens and backdoors and odd man rushes and you name it. And he did a great job kind of keeping Italy within striking distance of the game being close. But yeah, Switzerland had the play. Switzerland, when you watch them play in person, they are fast. Like, they play fast. Like, they physically can skate fast. They move the puck quickly and they put a lot of pressure on you. So it was a tough start. Switzerland kind of got out early. Dennis Malgin, nice goal early in the game and kind of set the tone. And so Switzerland, again, like, they missed a ton of chances. They could have had 7, 8, 9. Talking to the Swiss representatives after the game, they weren't super in love with the result, but I'm like, hey, you put up 5, you won handily, like, don't sweat it. But they wanted more. They wanted to be more decisive, but it was a pretty comfortable, comprehensive victory.
And it was also a huge moment for Andries Ambul. He made his 17th appearance for the Swiss national team, scoring a goal versus Italy. Mike, it was a special moment.
Well, 17th World Championship. That is the most all-time for anyone of any country, passing Matthias Seeger, his former teammate in Switzerland, who had 16. 17. Reagan's barely 17 years old, and this guy's played in 17 goodness. World Championships. It's unbelievable. He's only missed one in all that time because of injury. In the 18-year span, he's only missed one. And you look at him, he scored a goal. So it's not like he's just here as some sort of figurehead. Like, he can still play. He plays in the top nine. He can still skate really well. But you look at his face now. He looks like a guy who's been through some things. Like, he's got scars all over his mouth and his, like, that guy has played a long time. Credit to him. It's not like he plays for a bad or a thinner country. He plays for Switzerland. They have good players, young players trying to replace him, take his role. He has to earn his spot every single year. So I give him a little stick tap. 17 world championships and scoring a goal in his milestone game. Also worth noting, coming up, he is four games away from becoming the player who's played the most games at a world championship. So I think if he plays in every game, it's a game against Canada, will be their fifth game. He'll have that record alone as most games played in a career. So historical year for him and hopefully for his team. But I mean, geez, I played in a world championship like 20 years ago and he was almost in that one. I've been covering him for 10 years. He hasn't changed his tape job. He hasn't changed his stick. His hair is still long in the back. He looks and skates the same. It's an amazing tribute to his longevity.
Yeah, and isn't he a little bit smaller too?
He's slight. Yeah, he's probably 6 feet and 180 pounds. And to be healthy and to play a rugged game that long he deserves a lot of credit.
I think I saw on Elite Prospects he was 5'9". If that's true,
he might be a little bit bigger than that, but yeah, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
That's crazy. But yeah, also, I'm not 17, Mike, okay? He started in 2000. I was 3 years old at that point. Give me a break.
There you go. Close enough.
Well, that day, Mike, like you said, if he plays in every day, in every game, that will be May 21st, next Saturday. So mark your calendars. We'll all want to pay attention to that game. And everyone has noticed the effect that he has on the ice. Jonas Siegenthaler, his teammate, talked about his leadership and his humor after the game. Catch this.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, 17 championships, it's a lot. But, you know, he's such a leader on and off the ice. He's a funny guy to be around with. And, you know, like we are all proud of him. It's a big accomplishment. And, we try to make it a good one for him this year.
You better be funny. You're going to play till you're almost 40, and you're playing with kids who are closer to 20. Like, Nico Hischier is the captain. He's barely out of his teens. So you have to have a sense of humor to be able to relate. I mean, to kids, you have to have a good perspective to kind of keep it fresh.
And do you think he does TikTok videos with them and with Reagan?
I think he will at some point.
Because I don't know, did you watch Reagan's vlog? Because I watched that yesterday and it was absolutely fantastic. I watched the dance party. She promised a dance party and she started
DJ
a dance
Ray
party.
DJ Ray brings the heat every day, no doubt.
You already know.
And Mike, yesterday was also a special moment for the Italian side, but for other reasons, there was some family love on the ice playing together.
Yeah,
for the first
very
time.
Interesting. Alex Patan, who is from British Columbia, Canada, has played for the Italian national team for a while now, but this year he was joined by his cousin, Dante Hannon, who's over there playing for the Italian national team as well. And wouldn't you know it, Hannon had a great game, goal and an assist. And I always think it's such a unique experience. And hockey's a small game, I suppose, and you'll see siblings or cousins or family members cross paths. But I always want to recognize it, how special that would feel for the players, but their families, whether they're watching back in Canada or whatever, just thinking, like, these guys grew up together. They hung around together. They have Christmas together. They've known each other since they were children. They're cousins. And now they're playing on a national team on the world stage. And to see them have success, Hannon score a goal against Switzerland, it's never not special. And so congrats to them. That would be a really cool day. Really cool evening for them.
And Mike Reagan, I want to remind you of something that happened not so long ago. Listen to this clip. Do you remember this?
I think it's going to go to overtime. 3-2 Germany.
Reagan? I like that. I'm picking Germany.
So you're picking Germany.
Yeah.
Final score?
I was going to say 3-2, so that's annoying, but I'll go with, let's see.
Got to be first.
Let's go 2-1.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts so much, Ray. Well done. Although it was a cop out because I chose first. So I don't know if 2-1 was really your
first.
Oh,
you said
instinct.
You got to choose first, though. Don't even give me that. Come on. Give me a break. Just congratulate me. And
you're like
on.
The Price is Right player that says $1. I don't know.
I just know my stuff. All right.
For our listeners who didn't listen to yesterday's episode, Mike and Reagan made their predictions for the Germany versus Slovakia game. And Reagan, I'm pretty sure after you made that prediction, you mumbled to yourself something like, I'm going to win.
Did I actually?
Yes, you did. It's very low in there, but you mumbled to yourself, I'm going to win. Now, let's get to the actual game itself, because this was possibly the most fun game to watch yesterday. Definitely the most fun game to watch.
Yeah, it certainly was. First of all, fans make the game, and Germany had the full end behind their goaltender, singing and dancing, flags, banners, you name it. If they were allowed flares, they would have thrown some off. And then Slovakia had the bulk of the rest of the rink. So they were going back and forth, singing, chanting. But this game, Reagan, was like, on the bigger ice, it's hard to be super physical. It's just harder to hit people because they're further away. There's more space for them to get out of the way. And if you run to get hits, you're pulling yourself away from the middle of the ice. That's not always a good thing. Not last night. That game was as physical a game, I think, as I've ever seen at a world championship. Like, everybody was hitting. Tim Stützle was taking, like, anybody who was on the ice was taking runs at people, to the point where the first period, there was almost no puck play. It was just about, like, being physical and intense and emotional. And it was a back-and-forth game. Really exciting. I think Slovakia had a 5-on-3 in the third period, for a minute and a half, ready to tie the game. Opportunities right there. And they never really manufactured anything threatening. And I think they'll look back and go to work on that 5-on-3 to find a better setup, because they never really looked dangerous. They put Slavkovsky, probably their best shooter, down in front of the net, screening. I'm like, I think I want him in the slot or on a strong, like, give him in a spot where he can shoot the puck. Like, anyone can stand in front and screen. Any big guy can put in there. So they might revisit that. Craig Ramsey has done an excellent job. But that was a good game. Two good teams going at it, Reagan. And it was fun to call. It was a great capper to the day.
What were they running, a box and one?
They were going like an umbrella. They went like an umbrella on the on the 5-on-3. So, you know, they had, Pospisil was on the left, on his offside, left shot on the right side as a shooter. And I'm like, put Slavkovsky over there. And, you know, you get a kind of tight angle one-on-one. They never got pucks going through the seam. They just worked it around the edges and never really gave Germany much to think about. So no, they didn't go box and one, they went umbrella, which is more of a traditional 5-on-4 setup. And it did not work.
Dang, I wish I could have seen it. I was so excited watching a little bit of it on live, and even the saves from Grubauer. He had some really good ones.
That might be the most important and biggest difference against Canada. Grubauer looked shaky. Like, he just didn't look dialed in. I don't know if it's the shooters or the, but he was, from start of the game, way better. He was very much under control. Slovakia had more shots than Germany by the end of the game. Probably more expected goals if we dug into it deeply. And Grubauer gave Germany the kind of, I got this performance that teams love. If you're on the bench, Reagan, you know when your goaltender's die, like, I make a mistake, no big deal. They're going to make the save. And there's something comforting and confidence inducing when you can see and feel your goalie looking as good as Grubauer did last night.
Oh, yeah. Goalies are the most important piece of the puzzle when it comes to teams, because they are the ones that have to hold you in even if you're not playing well, and they will pull you through towards the end. So I'm pumped to watch them some more throughout this tournament.
Well, yesterday Team Britain played in their first game and Cade Nielsen made his senior team debut. Reagan, you caught up with him before the tournament. What were your first impressions of him while chatting with
him? He's such a sweet kid. I love him. I haven't gotten to meet him here yet, but yeah, he did get to play yesterday. So I watched a little bit of that, and he has such a cool story. He was born in Louisiana, from Great Britain. And so he's been all over the world playing hockey.
Well, let's listen to your conversation with him.
So for our listeners who have yet to get to know you, can you give us a little short lowdown on who Cade Nielsen is? And because you have a really interesting background being from Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, my dad obviously played pro for a long time. So I was just kind of been a rink rat my whole life and was born there because that's where he was playing, kind of traveled around. And that's where we ended up in England. So yeah, I've just been around the rink my whole life. And that's where I just ended up.
Who's someone you're really looking forward to playing with?
Well, there's a couple. I think Matthew Myers is definitely up there. Robert Lakowicz, like, they're two guys that I watched, like, growing up, and like way back when. So in the summers, we used to go to Canada, my dad and I.
Mm-hmm.
I was running a hockey school there. It's like a little Christian, like, ranch. It's called Teen Ranch. So there's horse riding, hockey schools, and everything. He was the director at the time. So what he was doing for a little while, a couple summers, he would bring a couple young British guys over, and like, they would learn from my dad and like skate on the ice. And one of those guys was Lacko.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old. He was probably like 15, 16. And I remember just like eating chocolate chip pancakes with in the mornings. And now I'm going to be playing the team with him.
Do you think you'll make some chocolate chip pancakes with him at the tournament?
I hope so. I love chocolate chip pancakes.
I love it. That's awesome. And, you know, who are you looking forward to playing against?
I think every team, like, that it's all so exciting. Like, it's a whole new level to me that I haven't experienced. A lot of professional guys, it's obviously going to be a huge challenge and a huge, like, step up. So I think every game that I'm able to play, I think I'm just going to be really excited to see how I compare to them and see where I need to improve and just use that as a huge learning curve.
Your father, Corey, is on the Team Brain coaching staff. What is it like as a player having your dad as a coach?
It's up and down sometimes. You know, growing up was that the older I get, the more I appreciate everything he's done for me. But when I was younger, it was a little bit harder. But we've got a really good relationship, obviously, at the rink. He's coach at home, he's dad. So I don't know, it's going to be really cool. But at the same time, obviously, I'm trying to stay away from him. He's not my dad there.
Some tough love from him.
More tough love than other people too, that's for sure.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for coming on today, because it's been a real pleasure getting to know you.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Reagan, I'm expecting a vlog of you and Cade Nielsen making chocolate chip pancakes together during
this
tournament.
That's a really good idea. I'm going to write that down. Thank you for that.
If you do, you better save some for me, because I have an affinity for chocolate chip pancakes.
No way.
So, yes, please.
Oh, well, there you go. I would watch that vlog.
And it's funny.
Mike and Cade eating chocolate chip pancakes.
To hear him say that about the Teen Ranch, because that's outside Toronto. And I've skated there. I tried out for Team Canada when I was in university at the Teen Ranch where he's talking about. So yeah, small world.
Reliving the glory days.
In terms of that game last night, Reagan, you were surprised by what you saw from the British team.
Yeah, I definitely was. They came out a lot stronger than I thought they were. And Czechia was a little slow to start. And so I think a little more towards the end, probably like the second period, that's when Czechia started to pick it back up. But overall, Great Britain was really in it, especially with Ben Bounds. And he was, oh my gosh, the saves that he was making throughout that was really good. But I would say that Czechia they started to get a little bit more traffic in front of the net, shots through, and a lot of deflections. So that was really hurting Bounds in net. And then I just don't think that the players were getting up to their points once it got towards probably the end of the second and then third period.
Now, one final game from yesterday, Sweden versus Austria. Sweden started their tournament with a win, something they haven't done at a world championship in a few years. Reagan, what caught your eye from this game?
You know, they had a lot of energy, but as they were going back and forth, it looked like not a lot of people wanted the puck on their stick. They would get into the neutral zone right over the blue. They would dump it in. They just kept dumping in the puck. And I was like, who wants this puck on their stick right now? And I think that kind of slowed down Sweden's momentum. Austria played pretty well, but, you know, overall, they've got some young players on Austria too, like Kasper. I think he's 18 years old. And I can't even imagine playing in this tournament at 18. I was not good at that age. And he's playing here right now with like a cage on. I'm like, you're doing great. Keep up the great work.
Yeah. And it's amazing to see how young players, male, woman, whatever, they just have a belief in themselves that is befuddling to me. Because you mentioned 18, you know, you're in high school at 18. And to think that you would feel comfortable, confident enough in your ability, even if you're a great player, Kasper, that obviously has that kind of talent, that you would be okay stepping onto the ice with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Rasmus Dahlin. Like, it would just be so intimidating. And yet the young players today, they don't feel that. They don't have that. They just like, no, they believe in themselves so much, which is awesome to see. And good for Austria, because they need to keep introducing high-end young players. They can't keep going back to the older guys. Got to keep backfilling with good young players to build the next generation.
Yeah, there was one point when Kasper was carrying the puck through the neutral zone and one of his older teammates was slamming his stick for the puck and I thought he was going to look him off. He took one more step and then decided to pass it off to him. I was like, oh, he's in the clear now. Good thing he did that.
Well, we've got a big day ahead of us today as well. Six more games coming up. So we're going to do quick dives into three of these games. First of all, Mike, hit me with Denmark versus Switzerland.
Well, this would be a good test, right? What is Denmark? Are they the juggernaut we saw yesterday? Probably not. But if Denmark wants to make the quarterfinals, they have to pull points out of somebody. Switzerland, Germany, Slovakia, they got to take points out of one of those teams. And so they'll get a better test here. This will be a quick game. Watch for Nick Ehlers. Nick Ehlers is one of my favorite players in the NHL. One of my favorite players internationally. He was incredible yesterday. He's like a roadrunner. Every time he gets there, he just goes flying around the ice so fast. So yeah, it'll be a good test for Denmark specifically. I think Switzerland will play the same way, but can Denmark match that pace? Like they'll have to be successful.
Over here in Tampere, Czechia versus Sweden. Reagan, your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a good game if they come out flying both teams at the start, because they both started a little slow yesterday. And I think Sweden definitely needs to hold the puck on their stick more because they are very talented. Like when they're training in Sweden, a lot of stuff they work on is skill and having the puck on their stick. So I want them to do that a lot more. And I think a good player to watch is going to be Klingberg for sure.
I like watching David Krejci still. I love watching that guy slow it down, make passes like he always has. He is such a smart player, and he'll need to be important against Sweden.
Canada facing Italy over in Helsinki. Mike, you were happy with the fact that Canada started off the tournament with a win, something they didn't do last year. Is this going to continue to 2-0?
I would think so. It would be quite a story if it does not.
We'll be talking a lot about it tomorrow if it does not.
Yeah, that will be the entire episode tomorrow. Two things stand out. Matt Barzal, he's in the building. So I'm not sure if he's going to play or how much he'll play if he dresses, but he'll be exciting to watch if he's able, if and when he gets on the ice. And the other part about Canada, when you play a team that you kind of feel that you're supposed to beat, how disciplined can they stay within their system? That was the strength of them in their first game. They were very connected and organized. Do they work on that? Or do they just think, you know what, we're better, so we'll kind of play fast and loose and win 7-3. So I'll be curious to see how disciplined Canada can stay against an opponent that they think they should beat.
And now for the important question of the day. How are your fantasy teams doing? Did you check?
Yesterday was
awful. Is it
too
early to check?
Awful yesterday for my results yesterday. I was terrible. Tomas Hertl killing me. Rasmus Dahlin killing me. I was no good. I'm riding the strength of my first day. I'm looking at I think, Marav, you had in our league, you were like best of the day yesterday.
Me?
Yeah. Day 2 points, Team Severe, first with 30. Is that right?
I will tell you what, I thought I didn't get my lineup in time because when I clicked on it, it told me it was 12:21 and it told me lineups had to be in by 12:20. So I didn't even check because I didn't think I was in it. So
I mean,
this
I'm
is
on
the
it
best
right now.
News I've heard so far today. I mean, it's very early in the morning, but I'm quite happy to hear that.
I see 30 points yesterday, 34 total points. So a tough first day for you, but 34 total points, not bad. I can't see Ray Ray anywhere.
I did terrible.
I only had 9 points yesterday. Awful game. Awful day. I'm embarrassed, but I think if I click on total points, it looks like I'm in third with 59 after 2 days because I had a big first day. Ray Ray, I can't find your name. Where is it? What happened?
I don't know what happened.
Oh, there it is.
I actually.
Oh, my goodness. You were minus one yesterday?
Stop.
You were minus one?
I know.
You would have been better off not picking anyone.
Okay, well, listen to this, Mike. I was under pressure while I was doing mine because I had to do mine live on the pregame skate. So give me a break. I'm going to do it beforehand this time.
Minus one.
Stop.
If you don't do better today, you might have to get barred for a day or two just to take a break. My goodness.
I'm auto-generating for now. It's too much stress for me.
Well, for any of our listeners who are tuning in, if you haven't yet made your fantasy team, you can still do it. All you have to do is log on to fantasy.iihf.com, create your team, enter the Totally Ice Hockey Show League, and you can compete with us on a daily basis to see if you can beat the three of us, apparently, because I'm making a comeback. Who knew this would happen? I was totally content with one place before last, but I'm happy to see that I'm taking some steps forward.
As you should be. Well, you got Ray Ray by a mile yesterday, so.
It's okay. She got me by like 3 miles on the first day.
I'm annoyed. I was winning so many games yesterday. I won a jersey, you guys. I played air hockey, and I came in second place, but they still gave me a jersey, so I'm pumped.
What jersey?
It's a Skoda jersey.
Oh, nice. Very
yeah.
nice.
You jealous? You should be.
Well, let's see what prizes you can win today, what prizes our listeners can win by joining the Fantasy League. Another show behind us, another big day ahead of us. It was fantastic having you on this morning, Mike Reagan, as every day. We'll be with you every single day of this tournament. You can join us, obviously, live on Twitter Spaces every morning at 9 a.m. local time, 8 a.m. CET. Send us your questions. Mike and Reagan will be answering any questions you may have for them about the tournament, about the players, the atmosphere, everything that's going on here in Finland. You can send them to our social accounts at IIHF Hockey. That was all for the Totally Ice Hockey Show today. We're going to prep for our big day ahead of us, and we'll see everyone tomorrow.
Enjoy the day. Have fun. Another busy one. Reagan, go win another jersey.
I will. Thank you.